Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We do rejoice and we're glad in it. And Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity of rest and refreshment as we worship you in spirit and in truth and receive the power and promises that you have in store for us through your word. Please send your Holy Spirit as we receive your message and respond of our lives dedicated in service to you and to your people. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. As you can see from the title of the message, it's leftovers. And I'm wondering what kind of leftovers you enjoy. As for me and my household, there's not many that we don't care for. We kind of like all kinds of leftovers. I know leftover pizza, cold or rewarmed, is popular for many. My mother used to make something called cheesy chicken squares, and I thought those were best after a night in the refrigerator myself. But there's sometimes certain foods do really well with leftovers the next day, and sometimes not so much. We'll talk a little bit more about leftovers later in the message today. But when last we saw Jesus our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew, lots of things were happening in his life and his ministry. He had just raised a dead girl, brought her back to life. He went to his hometown. He went back home, except it wasn't the greatest of visits. A lot of folks weren't accepting of him because of who he was and what he was proclaiming. He was just the carpenter's son, after all. And then he got news of his relative, his cousin perhaps, John the Baptist, dying. That wasn't great. And then in another episode, Jesus is empowering his disciples, his followers, to go out and have authority over demons. He gave them the power to heal people who were sick. And also the proclamation of his word to prepare people to receive the coming kingdom of God. All kinds of things happening at this time. And people were responding in faith, like Jairus and the healing of his daughter, her resurrection, here being brought back to life. People were not responding in faith like the people of Jesus' hometown. They doubted, and so not many miracles were happening because of that. The beheading of John the Baptist, and again, the disciples going out and ministering to others in Jesus' name, sharing the power and provision of the Lord. After all of this, in about a chapter and a half in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples return to the Lord and they report to him all the things that they had done and accomplished in his name. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Well done. It's time to take a break." More to the point, in the words of Scripture, it says, come off to a quiet place, a desolate place, and get some rest. Rest and refreshment. I don't know about you, but some days it's hard to find. There are some days where I can go all day without eating, and then 5 or 6 o'clock rolls around, and I get really hungry. And so I eat. And instead of just eating a regular meal, I consume all the calories I need for that day in that setting. And guess what else? Sometimes my choices nutritionally aren't the best in those moments. I actually had 2 days like that last week where, you know, it's 5 o'clock. I'm like, man, I've only had like coffee to eat. So I wonder I'm a little jittery or off. Have you had days like that? Have you had weeks like that, where it just seems like you're always on the go? Have you had seasons of life like that? Sometimes it happens and we just react as best as we can. Sometimes we get ourselves into those kinds of habits and seasons of life when basic human needs such as rest and nutrition seem to be limited luxuries. And before we realize it, we are running on empty. This whole cycle of running on empty versus being rested and refreshed, it's tough to balance and manage sometimes. I imagine there might be some modern day martyrs out there in our midst this morning. Those of you who love your families, who love your friends, who dedicate yourself to family obligations and household chores and doing for others and taking care of business at work. And it seems to be never ending sometimes. And for those of you who sometimes are like me, it also feels noble. Like I'm sacrificing myself for the sake of others, putting their needs ahead of mine. And there's something that's very good about that, seemingly to our hearts and minds, something very noble, something almost very pious about that. Like the more I sacrifice myself for the sake of others, the more reward I'll get, or the more acknowledgement I'll get, or the more God will be pleased with me. But sooner or later, the lack of sleep, the disruption of schedule, or the dismal diet catches up with us. And then we're not our best selves. Then we get short. We get grumpy. Our health starts to indicate that we're in need of an adjustment. Or sometimes our relationships start to slide or even struggle because we're not presenting our best selves to the Lord or to others. Friends, as you know, fasting is fine for a time, especially when prayer and planning are a part of that process. But starving yourself of basic needs is not fine, nor is it sustainable. You need rest and refreshment, just like the disciples did back in Mark chapter 6. Jesus recognizes this on behalf of his followers, and so he has them get into a boat, and they set sail on the Sea of Galilee. They're going to the other side. They're going to find this quiet place. They're going to get some time for themselves, time together with each other. They're going to get rest and refreshment, except for the fact that there are people who recognize Jesus. There are people who recognize the disciples, and they see them from afar. They see them get into that boat. And instead of getting to a boat themselves, they actually follow Jesus and his disciples on the shoreline. So as Jesus and his disciples are setting sail, they're following on that shoreline, actually running and racing ahead of Jesus to meet him on the other side at their destination point. Haven't these people ever heard of boundaries before? Can't they make an appointment? Man, some of these people are the same people that we've already helped. Lord, what are we going to do? And as they land there on the other side, Jesus looks at them, right? You could almost smell their desperation. You could almost sense the anxiety of the disciples. What's going to happen here in this moment where Jesus meets the crowds of people, the masses of humanity who have gathered, and the disciples who were promised rest and refreshment might be faced with a different challenge? Well, we know what happens. Jesus looks out at them and he sees them. He sees them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus does what he often does best. He has compassion on them. And you can almost sense the inner dialogue of the disciples as they take a deep breath and go, oh boy, here we go again. Something's going to happen. Jesus has compassion on them. And he does something interesting. Jesus makes an intentional decision here. He teaches them. He begins to teach them again. Probably about the coming kingdom of God. Probably about ultimately placing their hope and trust in him as the Messiah, this promised Savior of the Old Testament. And perhaps maybe even having a message of finding rest and refreshment in him, in a relationship of truth and trust in him, where ultimate peace comes from. But Jesus has compassion on these people, and he teaches them. And now the disciples are seeing the scene, and they're thinking, okay, but then the hour is getting late. You think Pastor Brad's sermons are long. Wow, can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus? The hour is getting late, and either in the interest of the Lord or the interest of those who are gathered there that are numbered at least 5,000, but probably more because of the women and children that we assume also gathered with these 5,000 men, and perhaps also looking out for their own self-interest. The disciples make this interesting proposition, very practically minded with the Lord, and say, Lord, the hour is getting late. There's a lot of people gathered here. We are far from the towns. Send them into the towns and villages so that they can buy something to eat. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Oh boy, here our Lord goes again. How are we going to give them something to eat? We don't have any food. We didn't prepare for this. We don't even have enough for ourselves. How are we going to get all these people something to eat? There are thousands and thousands of them. We don't have the money. It would take all this money, years of wages even, to feed all these people who have gathered. And plus, the towns are far from here. We'd have to travel there, buy the food, bring it back. Logistically, this is impossible, Lord. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the disciples face this interesting principle here of provision. Because the disciples cannot give the people what they do not have. And friends, the same is true for you and for me. You cannot give to others what you do not have yourself. I cannot give to other people what I do not have myself. And what we desire for other people is that they're well. Is that, sure, they're fed and nourished and they're healthy. But also, we desire for them to have the love and joy and peace of our Lord. And yet, if we have not received that ourselves, how can we possibly give that to others? And so, when we seek to serve others, and when we seek to put others before ourselves, which is a very noble pursuit and purpose that God has given to us, but when we do so without receiving for ourselves, when we're always on the go, always looking out for others, always serving them, and we don't take care of ourselves, or we don't pause to receive the blessings that God has in store for us through worship, we don't pause to pray, we don't pause to receive His Word, to study it, to discuss it with friends and family, if we're not filled up with the gospel gifts of Jesus and allow God's Spirit to work in us, then it becomes much more difficult for God's Spirit to work through us. We cannot give to others what we do not have ourselves. Friends, Jesus reminds us that sooner or later, our bounty of blessings and benefits will become depleted unless we get filled from the one who can provide us with rest and refreshment. Back to Mark chapter 6, back to the story. Jesus asks the disciples for an assessment of what they have on hand. A check. What's in our inventory, as it were? And of course, we remember that classic story from Sunday school, right? These loaves and fishes that are produced. The other gospels indicate that it was a young boy who brings this and offers it to the disciples and to the Lord. Five loaves, right? And two fish. And the disciples immediately are thinking what? No way this is enough, right? This isn't enough for us. The disciples always thinking immediately, physically, and earthly. The disciples most always thinking immediately, physically, and not considering who Jesus is. Jesus always challenging the disciples and us by extension to think spiritually, to think eternally, and to consider who He is as one who can protect and provide with His kind of power in play. And Jesus directs them to sit in groups of 50 and 100, dividing them, perhaps for ease of access. You didn't know that Jesus specialized in logistics, did you? And then taking those loaves and fishes, He gives thanks. He blesses it, and He breaks it. And He distributes it to the disciples, and they start distributing it to others. And all of a sudden, all these neurons are firing in your mind. All these movements of your heart are being stirred because you are remembering these times in Scripture where God's people are gathered together. You think back in the Old Testament with Moses gathering on the top of Mount Sinai near the presence of God, and gathering with the elders of Israel up on that mountaintop experience, experiencing the near presence of God and communing there, being with God and being together. the amazing things that they witnessed on that mountain. And then you think about this moment where people are gathered in groups of 50 and 100 in the green grass on the seaside of Galilee, where Jesus has just taught them, teaching them spiritual things. And now he's going to feed them with physical things. You look forward in your heart and mind, and you remember from Scripture that there's another gathering in the upper room the night when Jesus would be betrayed, and Jesus would take bread and bless it and break it and distribute it to his disciples. And he would say, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, which is given for you." And then you look ahead, and you remember that in the prophecies and even in the book of Revelation, as you look forward to the end of time, that there's another banquet. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that it's going to be a feast of rich meats, of fine meats and well-aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And Revelation has this picture of us at a heavenly banquet table, all gathered together as God's people with Christ himself as our host. And you're like, wow, incredible things happen when God gathers his people together. And friends, incredible things still happen when God gathers his people together. When God gathers his people together for worship, week in and week out, it can't be very regular and ordinary for us. But God's presence is promised here. God's blessings are promised here. Provisions for your life for rest and refreshment are promised here. God's Holy Spirit is promised here because you are receiving his word of truth. And in the sacrament of baptism or Holy Communion, we get those tangible elements that we receive that heighten our senses, and that our faith takes hold of the gifts of faith and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life that we receive through baptism, and that we also are receiving through the Lord's Supper. Friends, we are in a time in the history of our church, and with all that's happening, not post-pandemic, but getting working through this pandemic, where bringing people back together again is a challenge. This past weekend, it was a delight to see people gathering together for this Civil War reenactment. I heard the delightful sounds of my upbringing in 80s Fest as I could recite every single lyric that I heard from memory. But what a beautiful thing for people to gather together again for our festivals in Frankenmuth. It feels good, it looks great, and it just feels like normal, right? We desire to gather together as his people. And what special celebrations around food or music or significant milestones in our nation's history. But it's also good for us as God's people to gather together again. You are here and now, and because of that, you will be blessed, and God promises refreshment for you. We need to continue to look out for others who aren't here yet, who are safe to gather, and we need to invite them too. Because it's not just exposure to the Word of God as it's read, it's also the gathering of God's people around Jesus that is significant and healthy for us. Jesus did not transmit a message telepathically to the disciples or through the disciples to his people. Jesus used the means of humans, of people, to communicate his blessings of joy and peace and love. And I believe he desires to do the same thing with us here and now. Friends, it's a balance and it's a little bit of dance, this idea of serving others and looking out for the least of these among us, and also receiving what we need in terms of rest and refreshment as God's people. I want to share a story as we conclude the message here this morning, and that is this. There were times in my life, I don't do it anymore because I'm a much wiser husband now than I used to be, but there were times in my life where my wife Lisa would take our young children and go to grandma and grandma's house. And because I had to preach or work that weekend, I would stay home. After my religious and spiritual duties were over, well, it was guy time, right? So maybe go do a little golfing, right? Maybe go out to eat and go to that place where I like to go, but maybe my wife doesn't. and then eat those leftovers for the next day, right? And then maybe watch some movies. So I used to rent a lot of DVDs and watch them back to back to back. And after those weekends, thinking that I would be rested and refreshed, sometimes, you know what happened? I was a little sluggish. Because I kind of got in that mode of just maybe chilling too much, right? Watching too many movies, eating food that wasn't always the best for me. And then I feel a little guilty. And then I'm actually exhausted because on Sunday night, before Lisa and the children would come back, what did I have to do? I had to do all the laundry and all the dishes and all the chores that I neglected over that weekend. Are there any other guys that do that, have done that?
It's just you.
No, it's just me, right? Yeah. I'm just the bad husband, right? Yeah, good. So it's just me, I guess. But interesting, what I thought would give me rest and refreshment, right? I overdid a little much, overindulged, and it left me feeling, again, a little maybe guilty perhaps, a little sluggish, or a little panicked because I had to clean it all up in one fell swoop. Contrast that experience with another experience I had back in the day. Again, younger pastor, younger father, younger husband, and we had a mission trip. We had a mission trip to Tijuana, Mexico. I was leading a group from our church at the time from Wisconsin to Tijuana to work with a Lutheran mission site there to build homes for families in need, to provide lunch every day for the community in the local park, and then also offer a VBS program. A very aggressive agenda, to be sure, very ambitious. But by God's grace, He worked in us and through us to accomplish that. And so we'd get up in the morning with a rooster literally in the window, the open window, and kind of crowing in our ears, right? So early rising, then get ready and get to work on the homes, physically working and building those homes for families in need there. And then we would do the lunch, and we would prepare these meals and provide lunch in the community park for locals to come and enjoy. And then in the afternoon, we'd do a vacation Bible school program, a little activities and events and Bible stories and crafts and such for the children of the neighborhood. And my job was recreation leader. And I was sure. I knew what they could do well, right? And that was soccer. But what was interesting there is that one time these kids started kind of, you know, coming up to me, little boxing, little wrestling like that. And apparently they know professional wrestling too. And so it was just like this fake professional wrestling game that we played. So it was a little soccer, and they beat me at that, and then it was professional wrestling. And you think, with my size and stature, I would beat them at that, but there were so many of them, I was easily overwhelmed. But after this whole week of vacation Bible school, of community meals, of building homes, yeah, we were tired physically, but we were renewed spiritually because we were offering ourselves in service to others and the Lord was with us. Interesting dynamic. Interesting balance. Being rested and refreshed and then also seeking to serve others in Jesus' name. Friends, I don't do it perfectly. I don't know if any of us will this side of heaven. But I do know this, that when we ask the Holy Spirit for His guidance and direction in our lives, He will help us. And He will help us be aware of those times when we can continue to bless others. And also those times when we need to be refreshed ourselves. 2 points as we close the message today. As God gathers those people together and Jesus feeds them, He teaches them His word and He provides for their physical needs. He gives them what they need spiritually and physically, pointing to the extravagant grace of Jesus Christ. But then, also, there's this interesting little detail that the gospel writers include. The basketfuls of leftovers. How many were there?
12.
How many tribes of Israel? 12. How many disciples of Jesus? 12. Friends, when it seems like we just give and give and give and pour ourselves out in service of others, Jesus still has something for us. Perhaps that was an indication to the disciples that says, hey guys, I see you. I know what you need. You're going to get that time of rest and refreshment, but I have to do this. I have to teach the word to these people while I am here. And I'll even have something for you too. Because friends, I believe that the leftovers of God are enough for us, enough to sustain us, and enough to see us through, and even enough for us to share the love, joy, and peace of God with others. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.